for Shreilach and Chanukah. Good Erev Shabbos to everyone. Fifth night of Chanukah. The minhag is in the fifth night of Chanukah in the stipler's home, Chazunish's home, their relatives. You know what they do in the fifth night of Chanukah? They'd have their Chanukah party. Every single year, the fifth night of Chanukah was always the year, the date they had their Chanukah party. They didn't have to plan it. They knew the fifth night of Chanukah. Why was it always the fifth night of Chanukah? Because the fifth night of Chanukah can never fall out on Shabbos. So the minhag was, in the Chazanish, the stipler's home, they didn't give presents. They didn't give presents. They gave money. Money's muksa. Can't get presents on Shabbos either. So they would always be on the fifth night of Chanukah, no matter what night of the week that was, because the fifth night of Chanukah can never fall out on Shabbos. The Lubavitch Rebbe takes this a step further. And that's not only about, he says that the fifth night of Chanukah represents the pnimius of every single Jew. If Chanukah represents that light in the darkness, the light that shines brightly in the darkness, then the fifth night of Chanukah can never have this level of Kedusha. It can never get so high. It can never connect with a Shabbos to elevate it even to a higher level. So what does it represent? The darkness of the darkness. There's light in the darkness, and then there's one Shabbos, one day, one night of Chanukah can't even make it to get to the Kedusha of Shabbos. He says that represents the Pintel Yid, the beauty, the depth, that spark of light in every single Jew. And that's what brings us here tonight, in the fifth night of Chanukah, Thursday night. Lafuke, it can't fall out on Shabbos. We're learning tonight and this rest of the month, the Torah of the Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, and we're learning a little bit of Cook also tonight. This is beautiful. So says the Rav, he picks up on a point here, which is really a grammatical point at the beginning of the Parsha, but he develops a whole Yisod based on it. It was 2 years later. Why do we care that it was 2 years later? Yosef said to the Sar Hamashkin, remember me. Remember me. And what does the Torah say? He forgot him, and v'yishkachehu, and he forgot him again, twice. Why? Because even if he wanted to remember him, Chazal were not so happy with Yosef. He didn't rely on a Kaddish Baruch Hu. He relied it on Basar Adam. Al tiftachu v'ndivim. Ben Adam Shein L'Tshua. The Medrash says that refers to Yosef. Yosef referred to, relied on individuals, not on a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and God made the Sar Hamashkin forget until 2 years later. So what happens 2 years later? Ufaro cholem v'hine umed hal ya'or. Paro has a dream, and he is standing on the ya'or, on the Nile River. And we know the dream, he has two dreams, one about cows, one about sheaves of wheat. Now, the Pasuk says, Ufaro cholem. What should it have said? Chalam. Awesome. Ufaro cholem means Paro is dreaming, and he's standing on the Nile River. Paro is not dreaming, he dreamt. It should be in the past tense. What does this mean over here? So in order to understand what's going on over here, we need to go back to last week's Parsha. In last week's Parsha, we have Yosef as the dreamer. We have numerous dreams over the past few weeks. It all is kick-started in Parsha's Vayetze, where Yaakov dreams by the Har HaMoriah, and he dreams again at the end of Parsha's Vayetze, and in that dream, a Malach comes to him and says, Yaakov, you got to go home. It's been 20 years in Laban's home. It's enough. You have four wives, 11 children. You got to go home. So, two dreams. And now Vayeshev, Yosef has another two dreams. At the end of Vayeshev, what happens? Thrown in jail. And then he encounters the Sar Hamashkin and the Sar Hofim with two more dreams. And then we begin our Parsha, Parsha's Miketz, which always falls out. Shabbos Chanukah, two more dreams. Two more dreams of Paro. And it's Cholem and not Chalam. Oh, you would have picked this up. Baruch Hashem. We figured it out without you, but we do need you here, Moshe. Okay? So what's going on? Yosef has two dreams. He has one dream where he dreams of the sheaves they're all, the sheaves are working in the field, and they get up, and they bow down to the sheaf of Yosef. And then Yosef has another dream. The other dream is that there's all the stars and the sun and the moon, li. Everybody's bowing down to me. So says the Rav, that the Gemara in Brachos, the ninth parak of Brachos, talks all about dreams. If you want to know anything about dream interpretation, you don't have to only read Freud's book. You can go to the ninth parak of Maseches Brachos. They are giant tapim. And in there, the Gemara tells us about dreams. And the Gemara there says that dreams really reflect our innermost thoughts and feelings. So, Imkain, says the Rav, if that's true, what was Yosef saying? And what were the brothers arguing? Right, what was the argument? What was the machlokes here? And the Rav says something beautiful. This comes from the Masoros HaRav Chumash, which is, if you don't have it, this is like a must. It's unbelievable. It's really amazing. They finished the five-volume work on all of Chumash. They took all of the Rav's writings from all over in English and Hebrew and put it all together in one, in based on pasuk by pasuk. So the Rav gave five famous speeches at the Mizrahi convention. The Rav being a member of Mizrahi and not being a member of the Aguda is a major historical point in the Rav's biographical life, which is not for tonight. I'm not the expert on the Rav's life, and there are people that could speak about this way better, and we only have about 17 minutes left, approximately, for this year. So at the Mizrahi convention, he gave five speeches, were written up into a book called the Chamesh Drashot, in Hebrew. The Rav speaks in English. And in one of the drushos, he says the following. What were the brothers? What was their job? What were they? They were shepherds. So what is Yosef saying? They have a dream about what they do every day. They shepherd the sheep. They take care and tend to the flocks. He should have been dreaming about sheep. And then the middle sheep, everyone bows down to Yosef's sheep. No, that's not what he dreams about. He dreams about sheaves. Right? Not sheep. And close. But why is that? So Yosef felt that the brothers needed to consider other jobs. Not just because maybe they weren't so good. That life was going to change. They weren't always going to be in Eretz Yisrael. There was this prophecy given to Avram Avinu, the Bris Ben Osarim, and things were going to change. Things were never always going to be the same. So they needed to expand their portfolio, get new opportunities, gain new insights into their life, maybe go back to school and learn new things. And that's what Yosef was really telling the brothers. Hey guys, guess what? You're awesome the way you are, but who says we're going to live in Eretz Yisrael for the rest of our lives? We need some versatility in our skills. We need to learn new things. So we said, and that's represented by the sheaves. And the brother said, you're wrong. Right? I have some underlines here. Joseph dreamt of a new framework with it, which the unity of the family could be preserved, even in the far places where the creator of the universe would scatter them. One day we're going to be scattered over the universe. We need to be versatile. We need to have different skills. We need to be open to learning new things. And the brother said, no. The way things are now, the status quo is good. Let's keep it the way it is. Why do we need to change? I'm happy the way I am right now. I'm happy with who I am. I'm happy with the status quo. And then Yosef had another dream. And what was that dream? The stars and the sun and the moon. And they're all bowing down to Yosef. Now what does that represent? What does that represent? He says, secular culture and powerful and great technology, creating wonders and changing the foundations of our lives. There's going to be one day an industrial revolution. There's going to be a time when certain jobs, right, are going to be obsolete. Maybe being a shepherd is going to be taken over by AI. You know, being a research lawyer is going to be taken over by a computer. Yosef is telling the brothers, not only have to learn new jobs, but you have to get used to and get accustomed to encountering the culture around us. We can't stay where we are. We have to be engaged in the world around us and be prepared to be engaged in. Because who says we can learn comfortably and live comfortably on the outskirts of the community, shepherding our sheep and learning Torah? It won't necessarily be like that for the rest of our lives. As, right, this is part of the Brish Ben Basarim, we're going to be Ger Yazarecha Be'eretz Lo Lahem, we're going to be strangers in a strange land. At one point, things are bound to change. They're bound to change. If we are not prepared for new conditions, I'm reading from the bottom paragraph here, the environment will swallow us up. Our intellectual forces will completely assimilate. On the other hand, if we think for the future, and we plan for the future, for the sun, the moon, the 11 stars, for a new economic and social order, we can render Avraham's heritage, our great-grandfather's heritage, triumphant in alien surroundings. Avraham's Torah is very powerful, but only when we are prepared for the conflict and know exactly what to do in this new environment. Right? And that was the machlokas. Status quo, keep us who we are, keep separate from everybody else? Or is this a time where we need to be learning new skills? We need to prepare ourselves for a time where we are going to need to engage with the rest of the world. So what do Yossi's brothers say? Leave us alone. Leave us alone. We're okay the way we are. We're fine the way we are. We don't need to change. We can't meddle in God's plans. We don't know what God has in store for us. We need to step back and wait for that to happen. Who says we should need to be proactive in what's going on? Take a step back. Let God intervene. And when God intervenes, we will be reactive to whatever God does. And shalom al Yisrael. Shalom with our lives. And we'll be fine with that. And Yosef stood fast. Yosef said no. He was not secure in regarding the political and economic status quo of Yaakov's house in Canaan. And he continued to warn his brothers day after day that things are not going to stay the same. Rabbi Soloveitchik, people write, felt that he was the Yosef of his generation in a certain way. This is what he represented, really, for Klal Yisrael, engaging the world, staying strong to who we are, culturally, spiritually, religiously, but yet being fully engaged in the world. Rabbi Soloveitchik writes in Parshas Chayisara, Avram talks to Ephron and Bnei Ches, and what does he say? Ger v'toshav anochi imachem. I am a stranger and a dweller amongst you, which is itself a contradictory in terms. How can it be a ger v'toshav anochi imachem? And he says, that's the Jew. That is exactly the Jew. A Jew embodies both. We live that contradiction. We are fully engaged, and at the same time, we're disengaged with the world. We're in the Beis Medrash. We got one foot here. We got one foot in our office. At Kiddush Hashem, we're fully engaged there, and we're complete. And that's Ger V'Toshav. We live that balance, and we live that struggle. It's not easy being a mono-Orthodox Jew. It's not easy, but we live that. And we live that. And he says that was the Machlokas, L'Shem Shamayim, for the sake of heaven, between Yosef and the brothers. Yosef eventually lost in a certain way. He was thrown into a pit and sold, ended up in Mitzrayim, but Yosef never stopped dreaming. No matter where Yosef was, he didn't forget about his dreams. He never forgot about where he came from. He never forgot about the dreams of his youth and wherever he was. In the house of Potiphar, deep dark in a dungeon cell in Power's palace, at the highest status in Power's palace, he always kept his dreams alive. And that brings us back to our parsha. We began with the question, Ufaroch Cholem Vihine Omed Hal Yor. Paro is dreaming and he's still on the Yor. It should be Paro dreamt the dream. Paro dreams a dream that he had. What does that mean? Shri Ibn Ezra, the Rav quote, said, no, it really means he dreamt. The Rav says no. Look inside. This unique construction of the verb tells us something unique about Paro. Paro as an individual was a hard-boiled realist, and he began to dream. Paro also had dreams. This change in Paro occurred precisely when Yosef was to be elevated to power. Paro would have been disconcerted over his dreams, even if this metamorphosis is not taking place. What does it mean? Paro cholem? Paro was a dreamer. He continuously dreamed. He dreamt dreams of what, and visions of what he wanted for himself and for his palace and for his country. He was a dreamer. And you have to ask yourself, what made him convinced that Yosef's interpretation of the dreams was more right than everybody else he went to? He never met Yosef. He's in jail. He listens to Yosef over his, you know, his chief strategist, his head of the NSA, and his secretary of state. He listens to them more than he listens to, and he listens to Yosef. So he says, why do you listen to Yosef? He said he preferred Yosef's interpretation to that of the others, not on objective grounds. The Rav is Mechadish. There wasn't anything in Yosef's interpretation that sounded better than everybody else. But why listen to Yosef? Dreamer met dreamer. And if a dreamer meets another visionary, he says, you're right. You must be right. You're a dreamer. What do the brothers call him? The Baal Chalomos. Right? The master of the dreams. You're the dreamer. They met each other, and Paro said, I need you in my court. You have this vision. You have these dreams. I need you here. This is beautiful. And what do we say? And then I got to Rav Kook. Oh, it's amazing. Rav Kook has a set, a sefer called Shmona Kitzavim. In Shmona Kitzavim, what does Rav Kook write? Shir HaMalos B'Shuv Hashem Et Shiva Tzion Hayinu Kechomim. What's going to bring the Geula? Dreams. It's going to be the dreams. The Bnei Yisrael writes, Bnei Yisrael writes that when do we read about Vayetze, Vayeshev, when do we read about all the dreams? It's at the time of the middle of the winter. It's darker now. People, at least before electricity, used to dream more. They slept more. You sleep more, you have more dreams. You dream, right? It's this time of the year. And it's Dafka Chanukah. It's Dafka Chanukah. Chanukah is a time. If you think about it, a ragtag group of Kohanim, they went ahead and fought the Syrian Greek army. They're crazy. They had to have chutzpah. They had to have deep vision. They had to be dreamers. Rav Kook writes here, this is beautiful Torah. Ha-chalomot. He's reading Rav Kook. Ha-chalomot. Ha-gedolim yisod ha-olam heim. Big dreams are the foundation of the world. Chomim heim ha-nevim. How do nevim see prophecy? Through dreams. Be-chalom adabre bo. Chomim heim ha-mashorim be-haketz. Cholim bali machshava gedolim tikkun olam. True dreams bring out geula. Real dreams, right, are something that we need today. The Maccabim were real dreamers, and that's really what's going on in our parsha. The argument, the Ramban writes, what compelled Yosef to deceive and outmaneuver his brothers over and over again? It was his hope and his vision that what was going to happen. His dreams are going to be fulfilled. That's where Ramban writes. That's why Yosef, that allowed Matir Yosef to do what he did. And along with the story, this is one of my favorites, where Meir Shapiro was the Rosh, right, was first the Rav in Shuk. And then he became, started Daf Yomi, became the founder of the Yeshivas Chachmi Lublin. Yeshivas Chachmi Lublin. You know how many Daf of Gemara you need to know by heart to get in? 250. I think 250. 250, took a pin test, right? 250 blot by heart. Crazy, amazing, right? He was a member of the parliament. He's a member of the parliament. And he was a very well-known figure. And we owe so much debt to him today because of his founding of Daf Yomi. He used to go around from town to town each and every week, Shabbos, whatever, Rosh Hashanah residences, to push people to learn the Daf. Every Jew should be on the same page of Torah. And he got to one town. And as he's shaking, and hundreds of people would go out to greet him, and as he's going around and shaking people's hands, one guy goes over to him and says, you know who I am? I'm the son-in-law of the Rav where you grew up. I'm married to the daughter of the Rav his name is Halberstam, of the Rav where you grew up. So he says to him, in this big crowd of people, is your wife around? Can I speak to your wife? The big Rosh Yeshiva wants to speak to a woman. Oh my God, you know? So we'll make the Yeshiva world. So he says, sure. And he goes to the side, and he sees this woman, and he says, do you remember me? You remember I used to come to your house and learn Torah with your father? Of course I remember you. Those were good times. Do you remember I used to play with your brothers? Of course, and with other kids around? Of course. Do you remember that I used to talk about my dreams of uniting all the Jewish people together, that we should be united in learning the same Daf of Gemara? Yeah, I do. Do you remember that when I would say and share my dream and vision with everybody else, you know what the reaction was? They would laugh at me. They would make fun of me. No response. And he says, I see you have young children. I'm not saying this to make you angry, make you sad, make you disappointed. I don't need an apology. I'm telling you this. You have young children. They're going to come to you. Chanukah is a time of dreams. They're going to come to you. And they're going to say to you, I have a great idea. I want to change the world. I have a great vision for the future. Never laugh at the dream of a child. Never laugh at the dream of a child. We all have the ability to change the world. This story only came into fruition. We only know this story. You know why? The son of this woman said that his mother used to tell this story all the time and said to her children, dream big. Right? Like Rav Kook says, HaChalamot HaGedolim, the big dreams are the foundations of the world. It's Chanukah time. By Yamim Ahim Bezman Hazeh, the Rama writes, there's only one time of the year where you're allowed to daven for miracles. You can't daven for miracles typically. When is that time of the year? That is Chanukah. By Yamim Ahim Bezman Hazeh, just like then, so too today. We need the big dreams, we need the big visions, we need to dream big, to daven for the miracles, the opportunities that we have over the next, take advantage of the next few days of Chanukah. Shabbos.